morning's reading is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, which can be found in the Church Bibles on page 1210. That's Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, on page 1210. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is God's word to us today.
Thank you very much, Shaq and Lorraine, for helping us so well this morning. Do keep open those Bibles in front of you as the musicians take their seats on page 1210, as we're going to be looking at these short verses, but filled with so many good things for us, I believe. Let's pray together as we get into things. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Our great everlasting God, we come before you and we ask that you would speak to us and that you would fulfill your promise in our lives, that we will run and that we will not grow weary, because you are the God who never grows tired and never grows weary. Amen. Well, what do the following have in common? Paula Radcliffe in the Athens Olympics, Gemma from the jungle, and the vast majority of people who make New Year's resolutions. Any ideas? They give up. They all fail to finish all of them. And this morning we're talking about finishing well. The Christian life is a race, Christians the runners, and the challenge is to keep going strong right to the end. And if you're not here as a follower of Jesus this morning, you're not yet calling yourself a Christian, well, can I just say that we're delighted that you're here amongst us. We love to have people who are investigating these things. And I hope that nonetheless, this morning will be useful for you, because it will be a window for you to look in, perhaps from the outside, and just to see what the Christian life is like, what the Christian life demands, and what is it that makes the Christian life possible. And so it will be good for you this morning if you're thinking about joining the race, and good for you if you're already in the race. So what is it that's going to keep runners running in 2015 and beyond? Three things. First of all, perseverance. Secondly, proper kit. Yes, I'll get there. And thirdly, motivation, perfect motivation. So first of all, let us run with perseverance, says our passage. Let us run with perseverance. Now, once upon a time, the marathon used to be kind of like the ultimate challenge. And I once asked a friend who had run 498 marathons why he had stopped and why he hadn't gone on for the full 500. Well, he said, the reason, of course, is because I've run well over 500 because I haven't included all of the ultra marathons that I've done alongside. You see, 26.2 was what this guy did before breakfast. He was well used to running 50 miles or even 100 miles. And he ran ultramarathons. And in those kind of races, the big achievement isn't so much winning, although it's nice if you can win, but the bigger achievement is getting to the end in one piece. And that's the achievement of the Christian life. That's what we're all aiming at. It's about finishing and finishing well. I guess if we're Christians here and we've been Christian for any time at all, we'll know that the Christian life isn't a two-week sprint, nor is it a two-year marathon. It's an ultra. It's a lifelong commitment to following Jesus Christ. And the terrain we go over isn't always easy. And neither is the weather, nor are the circumstances. It can be tough. Yesterday morning, you remember what it was like yesterday morning? Well, I went for a jog. Well, it was a hilly run. It was wet and it was very muddy. What did I need? You're saying you needed your head checked. But what I'm wanting to say is what I needed was perseverance to keep on running. Because the temptation, it's there in verse 3, is the temptation is to grow weary and to lose heart. And that was the temptation for these Christians who received this letter. They were struggling with the cost of commitment to Jesus Christ. Being a Christian didn't appear to bring any real advantage to them. In fact, it brought them suffering. They got it in the neck from non-Christians. In some cases, they were losing their property and their freedom. We learn that from elsewhere in the letter. And maybe from verse 4 here, actually even their lives were in danger as well. And so the writer of the Hebrews is calling them and us to endure, to persevere. Now notice here that he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It was part of our memory verse. Suppose for a moment you enter the London Marathon, which may or may not be realistic. And on the morning you wake up and you think to yourself, you know what, I don't fancy starting at Greenwich. I fancy starting from Sutton. And so you go along to Sutton and you run from there. Well, what happens to you? Well, you're disqualified, aren't you? No medal, no goodie bag, no glory. You may even run the full 26.2 miles. But if you don't run the set course, then it doesn't count. Well, in our Christian lives, God sets the course for us. He determines the course that he wants us to run. And it's so important, isn't it, that we know that. See, over the course of 2015, we may find ourselves jogging along in the Christian life. It's all going rather well. It's even enjoyable, a bit like a summer jog alongside the Thames. But then we may find that the temperature drops 20 degrees. It starts to rain, and we arrive in Banstead, and so necessarily we end up going up a near vertical hill. You see, there will be times in our life, I expect, this year, for each of us if we're Christian, when it's going to feel like running up that hill. It might be a struggle with a particular sin. It might be a devastating personal circumstance. It might be opposition from those we're seeking to share Christ with. And we'll feel exhausted, dehydrated, out of energy, and we'll feel as though we can't possibly take another step. What do we need? Perseverance. And one of the keys to perseverance is knowing that our loving Heavenly Father has marked out our course for us. That if He's put us on this course in our life, then He's done it for our good. We need to know that He is a good God. And He doesn't make it hard for us just to make it hard for us, because it's good for us. He sets the course for us as each of us needs. And if we remember that, we'll keep on running. So let's run with perseverance. And secondly, let's run wearing the proper kit. Now, the London Marathon, every year they have the usual range of nutters who are running not only a marathon, but running it in fancy dress. And we've seen them all. There's the person in the business suit. There's the person wearing a rhino suit. And you may remember back in 2002, that guy who ran it in a deep sea diver's suit. He finished, here's his result, 5 days, 8 hours, 29 minutes, and 46 seconds. It's good that they got the seconds, I think. Well, a couple of years ago, 10 years later in 2012, he applied to go into the race again, but he's actually refused entry because the rules now say that you need to finish within 24 hours. So, by the way, if you've just started training for the London Marathon wearing your deep sea diver kit, then you need to take it off because you won't get in. They won't let you run. And serious runners, of course, wear the minimal amount of kit. They wear the proper kit. Here, less is more. So if we take a look at the guys and the girls at the front of the London Marathon, what they're going to be wearing is those super skimpy singlets and shorts. In the original Greek marathon, apparently, they ran with even less on. They ran naked, which I think would certainly boost viewing figures, but that's another point. The point for us is that in the Christian race, we need to throw off everything that hinders. Or as another version says, we need to lay aside every weight, which is a great verse for New Year dieters, isn't it? Lay aside every weight. Every year in New York, they hold a half-kilometre stiletto race. And as you can imagine, it involves a lot of women taking one or two steps and then doing a face plant on the concrete. See, you can't run in stilettos. You can't. Trust me, I've not tried, but but you need to take those stilettos off. You need to get rid of them. And in the Christian race, again, you need to just get rid of anything that's going to hinder you from running. So are we talking about sins here? Is that what we're talking about? Well, not necessarily. See, there's a whole bunch of things which we do which aren't sinful in themselves, but they actually hinder us from running. They can even be good in themselves, but they hinder us from running. So sports and hobbies, to continue the metaphor. Excellent. They're great things. But if they take up so much of our time that we don't have time to meet together with our Christian brothers and sisters on a Sunday, well, actually, those good things have become a hindrance. And if we can't rearrange our diary, well, the writer to the Hebrews says, throw them off. Get rid of them. And it's good to keep up with current affairs. It's good to answer our emails. But if we wake up in the morning and we haven't got time to skim the paper and surf the internet and read our Bibles, well, those good things, keeping up with people, keeping up with current affairs, have become a hindrance. They've hindered us from running the race. And the writer to the Hebrews says, throw them off. Get rid of them. Beach holidays. You're all booking your holidays at the moment. They're a wonderful gift if we can afford them. to be received with thanksgiving. But if we find semi-clad bodies to be unhelpful for us, well, it's much better to go to the Lake District. By the way, if anyone is going to the Lake District, okay, I don't want the rest of you to now assume that the reason they're going there is because they've got a problem with a beach holiday. The writer says, throw off everything that hinders. Throw it off. And he also says, throw off sin that so easily entangles. So he is talking about sin as well. It's an amusing YouTube clip that I saw on TV the other day. And it's of a youth who's robbing a convenience store, and he's wearing those low-rise jeans. You know, the kind of jeans which you sort of have really low so that you can show off your pants, should you want to do that. And this guy, he goes into the convenience store, grabs what looks like 24 beers. He comes running out towards his getaway car, and as you can guess what's going to happen, his jeans fall to the floor. He falls right onto the car park floor, beers flying everywhere, and doesn't make it to the getaway car. It's hilarious. Fix that image in your mind and think, that's what's going to happen to me this year if I try to run the Christian race and hold on to sin in my life. Bang. We've got to run with perseverance. We've got to run with the proper kit. And thirdly, we need to run knowing that we have the perfect motivation. And there are two sources for our motivation. First of all, people have run the race before. We should find motivation from Old Testament believers. But also, and supremely, our motivation comes from our Lord Jesus Christ himself. So chapter 12 of Hebrews follows hot on the heels of that famous chapter 11, which is crammed full of Old Testament believers. People who have run the race, people who finished strong, and who were commended, chapter 11, verse 39, for their faith. And so it's littered with people like Noah and Abraham and Moses and Rahab and David. And I suppose we could also add to the Old Testament list and some New Testament people who have run and finished the course, Peter and Paul. Or we could even add some more modern day Christians, people like C.H. Spurgeon or C.T. Studd or John Stott, or maybe even people we've known in our own lives who have been faithful to the end, and they've died as faithful believers in Christ. Now all of these believers who have run before are like a great cloud of witnesses. And as we look at them, they should motivate us to run the race. It's not so much that they're in the stands watching us run, as we might sort of read it. It's more that we look at them and find inspiration. So I love, before Christmas every year, watching the BBC Sports Personality of the Year. And we watch all the videos of the sporting achievements, the Olympic gold that someone's won on an Olympic year, the winning goal, someone seeing the checkered flag. And as we look at them, it's really inspiring. And maybe you've seen a video like that, and it's encouraged you to strap on the running shoes or to go and kick a football or whatever. Well, it should be the same for us in the Christian life. We need to play the videos before us so that we have in our mind people who have run the race faithfully. And that might mean taking one of these characters in Hebrews 11 and studying their life and see how they ran the race. It might mean, I'm pretty bad at this, but it might mean picking up a Christian biography and reading through how the Lord has been faithful as somebody sought to run the race in the past. See, many people before us have run the race faithfully, and they ran strongly. And the reason they ran strongly is because they had God helping them to run strongly. And the reason why we can run strongly is because we have the same God that they had. And so we should seek inspiration from these people. And that will prevent us from growing weary or losing heart. However, of course, our supreme motivation, our perfect motivation, is found in Jesus Christ. Have a look at the end of verse 1. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, from beginning to end, from start to finish, from A to Z. Now, a pioneer, of course, describes someone who inaugurates something, who starts it off, a trailblazer, you might say. Someone who achieves something from which other people can benefit. I used to teach at a school, and we had an annual Founders Day service at which we remembered Archbishop Whitgift, who established the school. And we honoured him because he began something which benefits and has benefited many, many children over the years who have entered into what he has done and shared it. But of course, that kind of pioneer, I suppose you could find them in many other religions, people who have founded other religions. But Hebrews means more than that when it talks about Jesus as our pioneer. Think of a lone SAS soldier. It's an illustration I came across the other day from Sinclair Ferguson. A lone SAS soldier. And his platoon is in grave danger. And so what he decides to do is, at his own risk, moves ahead on his own. And he looks for a way of escape. He cuts through the jungle. And he finds himself face to face with a gaping ravine. Now, it seems as though there's no way forward and that all will be lost. But he makes a lasso. And he manages to lasso a tree the other side of the ravine. And then he risks all by clambering across to the other side, hand by hand, inch by nerve-wracking inch. And he secures the rope and manages to create a rope bridge and eventually leads his whole platoon over the ravine to safety. Now that's a much better picture of Jesus as our pioneer. The divine SAS soldier who crosses the deep and dangerous ravine between a holy God and sinful man. You see, he's our pioneer, but he's also our perfecter. It's just in this sense, you see, that he's opened the way for us to approach God. Of course, he's the perfect example for us, but he's done more than that. He's actually opened the way, a new and living way for us. Because he is our great high priest, he's gone into the heavens. He perfects our faith. He brings it to its ultimate goal. He perfects it in that sense. He brings it to the point where we trust in God and find access to God, relationship with God. See, what more powerful incentive can there be to run the Christian race than what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? And who he is. Suppose for a moment you're a toddler again, and there you are, lost in Asda. Probably been lost as an adult, but lost in Asda as a toddler. And you're looking for mum, and you look down the aisle and nowhere to be seen, and then suddenly there's a shadow on the floor at the end of the aisle. It's mum-shaped, coming around the corner. You think, oh yeah, mum's coming. And so what do? You hurtle down the aisle towards that shadow. Well, this is a bit like the Old Testament Christians of chapter 11. See, they knew the God who promised to rescue them, and so they ran the life of faith, but in a sense they were in shadow lands. But imagine instead, there you are in the supermarket, and you're looking for mum, and mum comes round the corner. And you see her face to face, there she is. So what do? You run even harder because you know that's definitely her. And she sweeps you up in her arms at the end of the aisle. How much more overjoyed are you to see the real thing rather than just a shadow? How much more motivated are we to storm down that aisle to see our mother? Well, in the same way as New Testament Christians, we're provided with a much more powerful incentive to run the race of faith. Because we see Jesus. We see Jesus, the one who has made it possible for us to enter heaven itself. Now notice here, we can actually be a little bit more specific. More specific in terms of what we're to look for in Jesus. Because we're told not only how Jesus became the perfecter of our faith by the cross, but why Jesus became the perfecter of our faith. And we're told it's for the joy that was set before him. Now when you and I take decisions, if we're honest, we take the world's opinion into account way too much, don't we? But Christ took the opinion of his Father into account when he made his decisions. He obeys in the wilderness. He obeys in Gethsemane. He obeys even to the point of Calvary. In other words, he endured the thing which the world despises most, death on a cross. He scorned its shame. That's the language. He scorned it out of obedience for his Father. He didn't care what the world thought. What was he looking towards? Well, his eyes were on the prize. He was looking towards sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, is what it says. In other words, he was looking towards the joy of being reunited with his heavenly Father, and that joy of looking towards that empowered him even to the point of obedience on a cross. That vision of being with his Father in heaven enabled him to persevere and to endure. He kept his eyes on the prize. And this, of course, will be us. We will share Christ's joy in the throne room of the glory of God at the end of the race. How will we do it? Well, by taking our eyes off ourselves and our earthly circumstances and fixing them on the exalted Jesus, who is already there, the one with whom we will spend eternally. We will keep running by keeping our eyes on the prize of being with him. Well, who else might we be tempted to put our eyes and fix our eyes upon? Well, let me say, don't fix your eyes on yourself or your circumstances. Don't fix your eyes on your pastor or the elders or indeed anyone else. Because if we do that, we will grow weary and lose heart. We will collapse with exhaustion. You see, we might look like we're running well, a bit like the person at the beginning of the long distance race who sprints off into the distance for the first 400 metres, but eventually will flake out and be found out. Why are we not to look at these people? Well, because your pastor is not your saviour. And your elders are not Jesus. We will let you down. Not intentionally, of course, but of course we're sinners like everyone else. And so eventually we will fail you in one way or another, small or big. But Jesus will never fail you. He didn't fail you in 2014, did he? He won't fail you in 2015. He will never fail you. Well, let's take a breather for a moment, because it's time to sort of ask ourselves a few things. And the first thing is this. Are you in the race? As the saying goes, you've got to be in it to win it. The finisher's medal is only reserved for those who finish. The heavenly prize only comes to those who have persevering faith in Jesus Christ. But if you don't even make it to the start line, you don't stand a chance. So are you in the race? Secondly, are you determined to run the race that God sets for you in 2015? Will you submit to his sovereignty, or will we spend the year grumbling and wishing that we were on a different course? Third, is there one thing, or more than one thing perhaps, that we need to throw off this year? Something that will help us run. Maybe it's a sin, maybe it's not, but something good perhaps that hinders us. Do we need to throw something off? And fourthly, when you find this year that your circumstances begin to challenge you, or opposition comes from others, will you begin to grow weary and lose heart and feel like giving up, or will you persevere? Will you fix your eyes not on your circumstances or this world or the people of this world, but your exalted great high priest in the heavens? And let me ask you practically, how are you going to do that? Will you learn these verses? Will you read and study the book of Hebrews? Maybe something else. But however you do it, fix your eyes on Jesus. Christian life is an ultra marathon. To run strong, we need to wear the right kit and get rid of excess baggage. And we need to draw every encouragement from the saints of old, and particularly motivation from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Consider him, says the writer to the Hebrews, who endured opposition, such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray together. Perhaps we've arrived at the beginning of this new year and we're already feeling weary and spent. Perhaps we've arrived full of energy, looking forward to it. And yet there may well be times when it becomes difficult to follow Christ this year. Our Father, we pray that whatever circumstances we find ourselves, that we would discipline ourselves to fix our eyes on Jesus. We thank you for the way in which he has made relationship with you possible. And we also thank you for his example in running the life of obedience. And we pray that you would enable us to follow his example and to trust that the way he has made open for us in the heavens is clear and accessible. And so we pray that you would give us the energy as we consider what he did by scorning the shame of the cross to sit down at your right hand, that we too might look forward to that time when we will sit down with you in heaven, and all because of your grace, all because of your enabling, all because of your energy which so powerfully works in us. And so we praise you at the beginning of this new year that we have a confidence that comes from knowing the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Amen.